नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। यस्त्विच्छया कृतपुंभिर् आबासो हि आश्रमात् पृथक् स्वभाव विहितो धर्मः कस्य नेष्ट प्रशान्तये। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: A pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his order of life is called abhasa, a dim reflection or false similarity. But if one performs the prescribed duties for his particular ashram or varna, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all material distresses? Purport: it is indicated here that everyone should strictly follow the principles of varna and ashram as given in the Shastra. In the Vishnu Puran, it is said, Varnashrama charavata purushena parappuman Vishnur aradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam. One should focus upon the destination for progress, which is to become Krishna conscious. This is the aim and end of all varnas and ashramas. However, if Vishnu is not worshipped, the followers of the varnashram institution manufacture some concocted god. Thus, it has now become fashionable for any rascal or fool to be elected god. And there are many missionaries who have concocted their own gods, giving up their relationship with the real God. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that one who worships the demigods has lost his intelligence. Nonetheless, we find that even an illiterate person who has lost all intelligence is elected God. And although he has a temple, it has meat-eating sannyasis, and many polluted activities go on there. This type of religious system, which misguides its poor followers, is strictly forbidden. Such pretentious religions should be stopped altogether. The original system is that a Brahmana should actually become a Brahmana. He should not only take birth in a Brahman family, but must also be qualified. Also, even if one is not born in a Brahman family, but as Brahminical qualifications, he must be considered a Brahman. By strictly following this system, one can be happy without extra endeavor. Svabhava vihito dharma kasya neshta prashantaye. The real aim of life is to mitigate distress, and one can do this very easily by following the principles of Shastras. Seek the blessings of the assembled devotees before trying to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I remember many years back, I think the early 90s or in the late 80s, when I was studying in the school, I was at my grandmother's place. It was actually summer vacation was going on. So on one particular day, like you were fast asleep, on that day night, like there were around 10:30, 11 o'clock. In fact, all over the state, like people were throwing stones at the tube lights, and there were a lot of raids were taking place. Because the reason was, yes, at around 10 o'clock, One big political leader of the country was assassinated very brutally by a suicide bomber. It's one of the greatest assassination attacks in the Indian history. In fact, for the next many days, the newspaper news was filled with how this person was murdered brutally and about the investigations and the organization which was involved in the killing of this person. So for many days that the investigation was going on, and then police were trying to catch the criminals, and then they caught some of the people, some of them were killed, and some of them, the case was going on for many years. But then, although the person who were involved in the killing, they were actually found guilty, although the case went on for many years, the judgment was given that how the person is, these persons have to be hanged or they have to be given death sentence. But some of them even applied for presidential, they applied for presidential pardon. So we can see in the material world, here is an example of a person who has committed very serious assassination or murder, who is involved in the assassination of one of the biggest political leaders. But still, like, such people apply for pardon in order to get rid of the punishment. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see exactly an opposite case. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask a question to Suta Goswami. They say, Tasya janma mahabuddhe karmani mahatmanah nidanam cha yatai vasit sa pretya gatavan yata. The sages of Naimisharanya ask, please tell us about the birth of this great intelligent king, Maharaj Parikshit. We want to know about his birth. Not only we want to know about his birth, please also tell us about his death. And what destination did he achieve after death? So Prabhupada is actually enlightening us about why the sages are asking about Parikshit Maharaj's birth and death. So in the beginning of the first canto, in the fourth chapter, they already asked about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. Please tell us about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But here they also ask another question, that please also tell us about the death of Maharaj Parikshit and what did he achieve after death. So Prabhupada explains, because between the 4th chapter and 12th chapter, they heard about, the sages of Naimisharanya heard, that how Maharaj Parikshit was saved by Lord Krishna when he was attacked by the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama when he was in the womb. So Krishna personally appeared and saved Maharaj Parikshit from the attack of Brahmastra. So when Maharaj Parikshit was once saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, then he could have again used the contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to avoid death. So it is very interesting. We want to know, like, how did he actually die? And where did he go after death? So it is interesting, because in this world, like, suppose if there is some news that, okay, the son of a railway minister did not get a ticket in the train for going to Delhi. When somebody hears like that, it will be a big joke, isn't it? Because he has the contact of the rail, his father himself is a railway minister, he can make even separate train itself. There are some ministers like made a separate train from their village to some house like that. So when people have like contacts, they use the contacts to achieve certain things in their life. But the greatest contact one can have in his life is the contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the sages of Naimisharanya, they are surprised that Maharaj Parikshit had contact with the Supreme Lord himself. Supreme Lord personally appeared to save. So then, why did he not use his contact again in order to save himself from death? So please tell us about how did he die and what did he achieve after death? So here is an example of exactly opposite to what I spoke previously. Previously, a person in this world, he killed a person who is one of the former prime ministers, one of the biggest political leader. And he did not have contact with the president. He was proved guilty. He committed the greatest murder. But still he wants to get rid of his punishment by trying to establish contact with the president of the country, whom he does not know previously. But here is the exactly opposite example, Maharaj Parikshit, who has contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he committed a very insignificant mistake. Prabhupada writes that he committed a very insignificant mistake, for that he is given the highest punishment, that he should die within 7 days. But still he did not use the contact of the Supreme Lord. So this exactly opposite example, because Parikshit Maharaj wanted to act according to the will of the Lord. So this is an example of pure devotional service, that a person simply acts according to the will of the Lord. So in contrast to this pure devotional service, that is acting according to the will of the Lord, in today's verse, we are seeing that how people act against the will of the Lord, and then they are propagating so much of cheating, so much of concocted religions. So here, Narada Muni is talking about 5 kinds of religion. He talked about 4 kinds of religion in the previous verse. So in this verse, he talks about the irreligious principle, that is, a person who acts against the varna and ashram. So every person is supposed to act according to his varna and ashram. So in this world, there are many cheaters are there because people want to be cheated. Like one devotee was telling, like there was once a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest. So even real Charlie Chaplin contested for that, but then he did not win the contest. He was just given a consolation prize. So, but somebody else won it. Because people, we see that, basically the lesson is that, like even if God himself comes and contests, like if there is a competition for gods, he may not win the prize. Because people want to be cheated. People want cheap religion. So that is why there are cheaters are also there. So, actually, Krishna is actually not against making mistakes, but Krishna is against philosophizing our mistakes. So people, like even in the devotional service, a practicing devotee may commit mistakes. So that is natural, because since time immemorial we have been conditioned to different habits, so one may commit mistakes. So that is not wrong, but what is wrong is one philosophizing our mistakes, or starting a new tradition based on the mistakes. So there are many examples of cheaters. Like for example, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the symptom of a person who cheats others is described. It is described that when Putana entered Vrindavan to kill the babies, it is described, Tam tikshna chittam ati vama cheshtitam. Putana's heart was very cruel. Why? Because she wanted to kill newborn babies. Tikshna chittam. But then, how did she act? Ati vama cheshtitam. She acted like a mother. In fact, Prabhupada gives the word-to-word translation. She acted even better than a mother. So because of that, she looked like a sharp sword covered by a nice sheath or velvet cover. Like suppose if you see a nice velvet cover cloth, you may be attracted by that. Like just like we have the Bhagavatam, it's covered by this nice cloth. But then when you open the cloth, if there is a sharp sword, then you will be like completely taken aback. So Putana was like that. She acted like a mother, but then she had a heart of a cruel demoness. She wanted to kill the newborn babies. So when when the ladies of Vrindavan, when they saw Putana, they were completely captivated by her beauty. What to speak of the gopis, even the mothers, even Yashoda and Rohini, they were captivated by Putana's beauty and Putana's affectionate dealings. And then when they saw Putana entering the house, they remained silent. They did not say anything. They wanted Putana to breastfeed Krishna. So we can see that a symptom of cheater, like a person who is maybe cheating, like he may try to act very smart. Just like Putana, she acted like very motherly, but she had a heart of a very cruel demon. So this is the symptom of cheater. In this way, we also see in this world, many people, they claim to be giving real religious principles. They may pose themselves as like many devotees, like some people, they just keep on always smiling, some sadhus. So they think, oh, it's so nice. So they act themselves very nicely, but then they actually propagate wrong principles against the principles of Bhagavad Gita. So when a person gives up this cheating propensity, then one can actually understand the Supreme Lord. In the Ramayana, in this instance comes that when Ram and Lakshman, when they entered the mountain where Sugriva and his associates were living, so Sugriva saw from a distance that these two wonderful personalities, Ram and Lakshman, so they wanted to find out who these personalities were. So because he thought maybe they are sent by Vali to kill me. So he wanted to find out. So he sent Hanuman and he told him to find out who they are. So Hanuman went disguised as a Brahmana. So when, as you know, Hanuman is actually a great devotee of the Lord. He is a great devotee of Lord Ram. So when he went in front of Lord Ram, Ram and Lakshman, so he could not recognize who they are. But then finally he asked Ram and Lakshman, can you please introduce yourself to me? I want to know who you are. So then Ram and Lakshman, they revealed their original identity. Then Hanuman asked, how is it that I was not able to recognize you? Because I'm trying to all throughout my life I'm trying to perform devotional service to you. You are my master, but how is it that I was not able to recognize you? So Lord Ram said, when you come yourself covered, then I also cover myself. Because you came disguised as a Brahmana, so I did not reveal myself. So similarly, when a person tries to cheat, then Lord does not reveal true religious principles to him. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so especially in this particular verse talks about acting against the duties of one's varna and ashram. As you know, every person is classified according to one's nature. One is put in different varna or ashram: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So one has to act according to the duties prescribed in these different ashramas. So we can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that even great personalities, they set examples by performing perfectly, actually executing the duties of their particular position. For example, we have the example of Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni, when actually after he gave birth to the Supreme Lord, Kapil Dev, he actually he decided to go to the forest in order to take to the renounced order. So one may Prabhupada explains in the purport, actually the purpose of Varnashram is to ultimately develop attraction to the Supreme Lord. This is wonderful verse which comes in the first canto. This said, Dharma Swanishtita Pamsan Vishvak Sena Katasuya Notpadayet Yatiradim Shrama Yevahi Kevalam. So the purpose of executing all the religious principles is to ultimately develop attraction towards the Supreme Lord. Without that, everything, all this execution of the rules and regulations are completely useless labor. If you read the word-to-word translation of this verse, Shrama evahi kevalam. Shrama means useless labor. Eva means certainly. He means surely. And kevalam means entirely. That means it is entirely, surely, and completely it is just useless labor if one does not develop attraction towards hearing about the Supreme Lord. Or if one does not develop attraction to devotional service. So that is the purpose of Varnashram system. So then Prabhupada raises the point, if Karadama Muni, after all, ultimately he has to perform devotional service, then the Supreme Lord himself has taken birth as his son. Then he could have just served the Supreme Lord in the form, who is his own son. Then why did he leave the house and why did he take to the renounced order? So because Karadama Muni wanted to set example that one has to follow the words of the Supreme Lord. Following words of the Supreme Lord is more important than serving the Supreme Lord personally. Vani Seva and Vapu Seva. So because Lord has established this Varnashram Dharma that one has to perform these duties according to this Varnashram Dharma. So that is why he left the house and he took sannyas. So Kardama Muni's example, we see that how he strictly followed the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. Another example comes in the like 5th canto when Priyavrat Maharaj was told by Lord Brahma and Swayambhu Manu to take the responsibility of the king. So then he became the king. And then the description comes that Priyavrat Maharaj also married this particular wife. Then he begot so many sons, like that it comes. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, after all, Priyavrat Maharaj was only told to become the king. So then why did he get married? So Prabhupada explains that living in a house means living with wife and children. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when his first wife left her body, then he knew that he is going to take sannyas after 4 years. But still he married second time because he wanted to establish the principle that living in the house means living as a grihastha. So in this way we see that people followed the duties of Varnashram. As I say, Prabhupada also at one point, he said that now I have given Krishna consciousness, but then I have given Krishna consciousness, I have spread, but then now your duty is to establish Varnashram. Because in a short span, he could not establish Varnashram Dharma. He told that now in order to give stability for the preaching mission, one has to establish this Varnashram Dharma. So in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this verse comes, I think one of the Navayogendras, when they give instruction to Maharaj Nimi, they say, Ya yesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajant avajananti sthanat brashta patantyada. When the members of the Varnashram system, when they fail to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either out of ignorance or out of deliberately disrespecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they fall down to the lowest position. Sanat brashta padantyada. So Prabhupada explains that like bhajanti, na bhajanti means one may disrespect the Supreme Lord either out of ignorance, or one may disrespect the Supreme Lord even knowingly. So in both cases, he will actually fall down to the lowest position. So especially being born in the land of India, because a person takes birth in the land of India, he automatically comes in contact with this religious principles. So then after being situated in such a position, when a person actually does not follow the religious principles, then when a person takes to the life of sense gratification, then he will get even greater reaction. That is why in the Isopanishad, there is one verse comes in which it is described that when a person actually does not follow the religious principles, when a person actually propagates nescience, he will definitely get a sinful reaction. He will definitely go to the hellish planets. But then, when a person, in the name of religion, when he commits, when he is trying to misguide the people by trying to propagate wrong principles, then his destination is even more worse. So just like we can see, it's like even in the like in the judicial system, suppose a person commits a murder. If a murder is committed by a madman, okay, he will get some reaction. He will be put in a like a madhouse, or he will be put in a prison for mad persons. But when a person commits a murder out of some impulse, out of some sudden impulse, or out of some sudden anger, he will get even some better, will get some severe reaction. But when a person commits a murder meditating with pre-planned murder, then he will get the greatest reaction. He will get even more severe reaction. So similarly, when a person knows what is right, and then when he misguides the people wrongly, then he will get like greater reaction. So higher the knowledge, greater the consequences. So one of the worst type of reaction, or one of the worst type of fall down, or when people misguide, is philosophical fall down. When a person misguides others with the wrong philosophy, then he will get greater reaction. Because, like suppose, when a person misguides other person, when a person does not follow the religious principles properly, when a person commits sinful activities, then automatically other people come to know that, okay, this person is not following the principles properly. Then they automatically, other people keep distance from him. But then when a person, like in the name of religion, he is in the dress of a like spiritualist, but then he is misguiding the people with the wrong philosophy, then he will get a greater reaction. Because people think that he is actually trying to propagate the right philosophy. So then they put more faith on him. And then when he propagates the wrong philosophy, then so many other people are also misguided. So that is why philosophical fall down is one of the worst type of fall down. And Prabhupada, like many of his lectures and purports, he condemns many people. For example, he condemns about grass atheists, who grossly claim that, okay, I don't believe that there is no, that God exists. He condemns about smartha brahmanas. And he condemns about like cheating materialists. And he also condemns about like impersonalists and voidists and sahajiyas. And one of the worst criticism which Prabhupada makes is about the sahajiyas. So sahajiyas are, they actually recognize Krishna's name, Krishna's naam, rupa, guna and leela. And they seem to be familiar with the most confidential topics of Lord Krishna. They seem to be familiar with the most confidential leelas of Lord Krishna. But then they are filled with material desires. They appear to know much about understanding. They appear to know much about the confidential topics. But then their behavior is, their understanding is not deep. So basically, in short, if you want to define sahajiyas, they want the experience of ecstasy, but without committing themselves to the process of devotional service. They want experience without commitment. So if you want to get experience of the highest bliss, one has to dedicate oneself to the process of devotional service for many years. So nothing will come without commitment. And they basically want salary without work. So if a person wants salary without work, it's like foolish. They want experience of ecstasy, but then they don't want to dedicate. They want realization without dedication. So this sahajiyas, what is actually wrong in sahajiyas? So they actually give a sastric justification for their actually practice of devotional service. So what is the shastric justification? They say that we are actually They say that we are actually practicing according to the Rupa Goswami's principle of Raganuga Bhakti. But then, when you actually understand the definition of Raganuga Bhakti, like we can understand how Sahaja's behavior is wrong. So in Rupa Goswami talks about Sadhana Bhakti. There are two types of Sadhana Bhakti, that is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So Sadhana Bhakti means devotional service in practice. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is also a part of Sadhana Bhakti. That means it is to be practiced by a practitioner. Then Sahajiyas may say, we are practitioner only. We don't claim to be like Siddha Purushas. And Rupa Goswami is given as one of the Anga of Sadhana Bhakti as Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Huh? And what is actually Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? So Raganuga means Raga plus Anuga. Anuga means following in the footsteps. So Raganuga means following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Yeah, like gopis of Vrindavan or the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. So Sahajiyas, they actually imitate the gopis of Vrindavan. They sometimes dress themselves as the gopis and then they perform like, just like Krishna performed Ras Leela, they imitate themselves as gopis. But that is actually wrong. Why? Rupa Goswami, when he describes his Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, he speaks, Seva Sadhaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi Tad Bhava Lipsuna Karya Vraja Lokanu Sarataha. So what he says is, following after the, how does a person perform Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? He actually meditates on the residents of Vrindavan. But then, the residents of Vrindavan, they have their forms as both as sadhakas and also as siddhas. Sadhaka means practitioner, siddha means one who has achieved perfection. For example, one of the associates of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, is Sri Rupa Manjari, one of the gopis. See, Rupa Manjari has her identity as a sadhaka and also as a siddha. Her identity as a sadhaka is Sri Rupa Goswami. Her identity as a siddha is Sri Rupa Manjari. So because the residents of Vrindavan has their identity of the sadhaka as a siddha, one has to execute Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, both following in the footsteps of a sadhaka and also as a siddha. That means, externally they have to follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami and internally they have to meditate in the mood of Sri Rupa Manjari. How did Rupa Goswami practice devotional service? All the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they perfectly followed all the rules and regulations. They offered so many thousands of obeisances. They chanted with their beads. They worshipped the Guru. They worshipped the Tulsi Maharani. They followed all the rules and regulations perfectly. That means, even if a person, first of all, to perform Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, although it is to be performed by a practitioner, it is practiced only beyond the stage of Anartha Nivritti. That means, in order to perform Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, one cannot have any material desire. That means, we are not at all qualified, at least for myself. So, definitely, so in that itself, we cannot practice because one cannot have any material desire. So even if a person does not have material desire, he is qualified to perform Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Yes, externally he has to follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. That is, externally he has to practice all the rules and regulations of devotional service. Only internally he has to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. But what is the mistake of the Sahajiyas? First of all, they are not qualified. They have so much of material desires, but still they practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So that is their first mistake. The second mistake is that they externally and internally, they try to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So they do not take into account the residents of Vrindavan. They also appear as sadhakas in Gaur Leela. And so that is the mistake of the Sahajiyas. So Prabhupada condemned severely about the Sahajiyas. So sometimes people may think, oh, Sahajiyas, they are worshipping Krishna. So one may get misguided by this Sahajiyas, but then their practice is completely wrong. And we also see that many leaders, in the fourth canto in one purport, Lord Vishnu talks about the duties of a leader, especially now the election is over, the new government has come. But according to Lord Vishnu, a person who is in the position of a leader should make sure that the citizens practice the religious principles. And then he should give complete protection to the citizens, both spiritually and materially. And then he can actually levy taxes on the citizens. And when he does like that, when he himself does not practice religious principle, and when the citizens act as shudras, when the leader does not care about that, Prabhupada says such leaders are considered to be fools and rascals in the strict sense of the term. Prabhupada is so heavy because they misguide all the population. So further, and we also see how Prabhupada reacted to philosophical fall down. Like Prabhupada was very much against abortion. So abortion is definitely cruel because a child, when he takes birth in the womb, he is in a helpless condition. When a person kills the child who is in the helpless condition, then it is the greatest type of sin. So Prabhupada would talk very heavily against abortion. So once Prabhupada was on morning walk, so he was talking about abortion, how it is the greatest type of sin. And the next morning walk, somebody told Prabhupada that today there is a news in the newspaper. So this particular spiritual leader, known as some Guruji or something, so he was actually given up by his mother. His mother declared that, "I do not want him as my son because he is actually misguiding so many people in the wrong path." So Prabhupada said, actually his mother should have killed him in the womb itself. So in the previous day, Prabhupada talked heavily against abortion. But the next day, Prabhupada talked in such a way that he was supporting abortion. But then what was Prabhupada's mood? What he meant was that because he is actually misguiding so many thousands of people, better he should have been killed in the womb. Because he misguided so many people. So Prabhupada was very much against philosophical fall down. And we also see that once in the history of ISKCON, some people claimed that Prabhupada is God. So when Prabhupada immediately take them out of ISKCON. They should not speak in any of the ISKCON centers. On the other hand, when they could not practice the principles, Prabhupada was very considerate. Prabhupada said, "All right, still you changed to another position, but continue practice devotional service." So, but then, when the same top leaders, when they misguided by creating a wrong philosophy, Prabhupada reacted very heavily. In fact, Prabhupada wrote his own Pranati mantra after that incident. So normally, a spiritualist, he will not glorify himself. But Prabhupada wrote that his own Pranati mantra, "Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarini." Because Prabhupada wanted to establish that I have come to remove this Nirvisheshavad and Shunyavad, impersonalism and voidism. So he wanted to clearly establish what is his mission. So although he may be like, people may consider, okay, he is glorifying himself, but then he did not want to compromise with his philosophy. So that is why he wrote his own Pranati mantra. So, and then further we see that, so this is how when a person actually misguides the people in the wrong way, then one gets greater reaction because he is actually misguiding so many people. On the other hand, when a person practices pure devotional service, one exhibits actually very superior qualities, wonderful qualities. We see that in the Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he describes about the characteristics of pure devotional service, the second characteristic which he describes is Shubhada. So Shubhada means all auspiciousness. So anything can be all auspicious if it satisfies four criteria. So if you see the four criteria, there are first two criteria, and the third criteria he says is that when a person practices pure devotional service, he develops all the good qualities of the demigods and even the Supreme Lord. But then the first two criteria seem to be repetition of the third criteria. Like for example, like suppose a person is going to write an entrance exam. He is going to another city and writes an entrance exam. So mother tells, oh, please take all the things necessary for your stay. And then she will especially tell that, make sure that you take your hall ticket and the train ticket for your train journey. So she already said, okay, take all the things. But then to give special emphasis, she says, okay, take your train ticket and also hall ticket. I mean, they are the most important. So similarly, Rupa Goswami, third criteria he says is that when a person practices pure devotional service, he develops all the good qualities of the demigods. But then the first two criteria, he especially mentions two qualities, because those two qualities are the essence of all good qualities. And what are those two good qualities? That affection to all living entities, and such a person becomes attractive to all living entities. A few years back, one devotee, like when he went on a preaching tour abroad, after he came from the preaching tour, he was sharing his experiences. So he was telling about, that how in one particular city he visited the temple of one particular spiritual organization. He started describing in detail about the spiritual organization. When I heard that, I was completely taken aback. He was saying that in this particular spiritual organization, people follow all the four regulative principles. And when there is satsang, there will be partition in the hall between, like, men will sit in one side and women will sit in the other side. And right from there, like, there is Gurukul and there is strict principles. And then he started describing about the temple. There is like perfect cleanliness and nobody is employed. Everyone is doing voluntary service. And I was completely taken aback. Like, what kind of, this is like ideal of what we are looking for. And then I was completely moved, like, maybe it's like genuine spiritual organization. And then he described about, like, he in this spiritual organization, they show one particular movie about the glory of India. And then that movie is made in such a way that it has so much of multimedia effect. Anybody who sees the movie, he'll be completely affected. He glorified so much about that. But then at the end, he made just one small statement. He said, but 99% of the people who follow this organization are from this particular community. So that means it cannot be pure devotional service. Because when a person practices pure devotional service, he naturally develops this good quality. That means he works for the benefit of the whole world. He becomes attractive to all living entities and he has affection for all living entities. So that is the unique position of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many spiritual leaders in the whole world. We don't want to speak against them. They may be practicing some genuine principle, but then they cannot be called as pure devotees. Because when a person practices pure devotional service, he has to exhibit these two qualities. Srila Prabhupada, when we see in his example, he did not preach only to the Indians. He first of all went to the Western world. He was told to preach in the Western world. He went to America. He did not stop with America. He went to Australia also, which is in the eastern direction. His Guru Maharaj was told to preach in the Western world, but then he went to Australia. And he went to Africa, But then his disciples were preaching only to the Indian communities. And then Prabhupada said, I want you to preach to the local Africans. Huh. So he was concerned about like each and every living entity. Like there are so many examples out there, but like it will take so much of time if we speak about that. So that is the unique quality of Prabhupada, that he wanted to preach to each and every living entity. In fact, one senior devotee was telling that before coming to Krishna consciousness, he was following one particular spiritual leader. So this particular spiritual leader, he was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was speaking on Ramayana. He was preaching about all the like devotional principles. But then he was also getting attracted to ISKCON devotees. Then he said that he asked that spiritual leader, said, see, this Hare Krishna devotees, they're also chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So then why don't you appreciate them? So then he said, so they are all Westerners. If you see, if there is an onion, how much ever fragrance you put when there is onion is stored, can you actually remove the smell of the onion? So similarly, he said, like, these Westerners, how can they like become pure devotees, even if they change their dress and start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? So this shows that he's actually not practicing pure devotional service. Because if a person practices pure devotional service, he will exhibit the quality that he will have affection for all living entities. So that is the, if we see in every, all Vaishnava Acharyas, they especially exhibited this quality. When a person does not practice pure devotional service, he will not exhibit this quality. So we see this another example in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When, I'll just take a few minutes and then stop. So when King Vena was killed by the sages, King Vena was a very cruel king, the sages, they actually killed King Vena. So then, after that, they started performing the daily sadhana. So suddenly, there was a huge sound. There was like huge dust storm was raised in the sky. So then they understood that actually because the king is dead, now the rogues and thieves have become prominent. So they are actually disturbing the whole citizens. All the citizens are tortured by these rogues and thieves. So these sages, they were performing their morning sadhana. But then when they came to know these rogues and thieves are actually disturbing the citizens, then they actually decided, we have to do something for the citizens. So the principle we learn is, so we have these three principles, Name Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva and Jiva Daya. So when a person, the sages are performing their morning sadhana, they are satisfied just by practicing morning sadhana, but the natural manifestation of their performance of morning, their sadhana is that they were compassionate to the other living entities. They felt that we have to do something for the citizens. So then they actually, then Prithu Maharaj appeared, the story goes. So the point is that when a person practices genuine spiritual practice, genuine spiritual sadhana, the natural outcome of that is he will also develop compassion for other living entities. That is exhibited to the supreme degree by Srila Prabhupada. And then finally, Prabhupada talks in the purport about how this the original system is that a brahmana should actually become a brahmana. He should not only take birth in a brahmana family, but he must also be qualified. So Vedic culture always emphasizes on quality, not simply on birth. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasabhuyo abhijayate. He says, one who understands the truth about prakriti, material nature, purusha, the supreme enjoyer, regardless of his present position, he will attain the highest perfection. He is saying, sarvata vartamanopi, regardless of his present position. That means whatever background you may come from, if a person practices, if a person knows spiritual knowledge, he will get perfection. He does not give emphasis to the birth. And we also see another example is very inspiring. In the fourth canto, it is described about the Queen Archi, the wife of Prithu Maharaj. It is described that Queen Archi's qualities ornamented her, increased the beauty of her ornaments. The qualities of Queen Archi increased the beauty of her ornaments. See, in the Kali Yuga, whether men or women, they actually give more emphasis to the externals. They give more emphasis to the ornaments or the dresses, or the like for the external beauty. But in the Vedic culture, they actually give more emphasis to the character and the qualities. So that is the, that's why Queen Archie's qualities increase the beauty of her ornaments. And then we say, a few weeks back, one devotee was sharing this example. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there was a conversation between bull and cow, so bull was asking the cow, why are you actually in distress? What is the reason, cause of your distress? So that time, the mother earth, who was in the form of a cow, she gives answer. She says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a reservoir of all the good qualities, in whom all the good qualities reside, has actually left this planet. He has wound up his pastimes and he has gone back to the spiritual world. Because of that, actually, that is why I am suffering. And then she describes the all the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So one of the qualities of Krishna which she describes is knowledge. So Prabhupada in his purport says knowledge include actually five components. So the four components are intelligence, the power of understanding about the environments of desha, kala, patra, place, object and time, and perfect knowledge of everything, and knowledge of self. And then the fifth component he makes is gratefulness. That means knowledge simply does not involve knowing something, but it also involves gratefulness. That means one may be knowledgeable, but then if he does not have this quality, that means he is actually a fool. So that is why in the Vedic culture, the emphasis is not given simply to the externals or to the birth, but to the qualities. That's why here Prabhupada says, a Brahmana should be, if he is qualified, even if he does not take birth in the Brahman family, then he can be considered as a Brahman. So I'll just stop here. Actually too much beyond my time. So to summarize, we just talked about different cheating religion, about how Prabhupada criticized about Sahajiyas, and how he talked about philosophical fall down, how he reacted to philosophical fall down. And then we also talked about how in the Vedic culture, quality is given importance instead of birth. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthanal Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.